Hi there. Hello, I'm Dean Peterson, but you can call me Bobby. I just want you to know, if you ever feel stressed out from studying or whatever,
I'm always up for some hacky sack.
Or hey, if you just want to come by and jam, I used to be the bass player for the Pretenders.
Boy, I can't wait to take some of the starch out of that stuffed shirt.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
I am ruddy good, Terry. Ruddy good. And how are you?
I do well.
Good to hear it.
Nice to be back in the rotation 3 weeks in a row now, give or take.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good. I mean, like, the goal is always, believe it or not, to people listening, I mean, the goal is to put one episode out a week. It just doesn't always turn out that way, whether it's through a scheduling conflict or technical issues or something like that. But we're
somebody's
on a pretty good roll.
It's so. Hurting them, you know, we might have to postpone it.
I think
a little inside baseball there, folks.
Yeah, you see, and that was another thing as well, because I texted
Andy's
Terry yesterday.
Old, guys.
Yeah, I was texting Terry yesterday because I bruised my hip and I couldn't sleep, and I was having one of those days. I was like, look, I was like, is there any chance we can reschedule? I was like, I fear it would damage the fans to hear it.
I was actually delighted you did, because we got started so late last week.
I know.
I just come back from Astro. I was a shell of a man the next day. I need my 7 hours at least, like, these days.
You need 7 at least? I tend to get about 6, yeah. But I would love... I just keep going to bed too late. Like, it's totally within my control.
You know what? I completely understand where you're coming from. And I just bought Red Dead Redemption 2 a couple of weeks ago. So, like, that's the temptation of, like, I just stay up for another hour.
Yeah.
Just keep
but
playing.
Can you ever just cut it off? Okay, it's like, okay, it's been an hour.
Off
to bed.
No, it's only when it's like you're sitting there and you're like, your eyes start stinging you. You're like, okay, when I'm finished this one, as soon as I get back to camp,
I just kill this guy and then
I'll just rob the stagecoach.
Oh, I'd love to play it. Everybody's talking about it.
It's great. It's really, really good.
See, that's the problem that I was saying, that I have the PS4, but it sounds like a jet engine when I turn it on. It's like dust in the system. So I even with the subtitles on, like, I can't hear it, and you're just hearing... And I took it apart, and I lost my warranty by taking it apart. Anyway, still the same.
Is there place nearby that, like, a computer doctor-type job or whatever?
Yeah, there is, I guess. And that would solve it instantly. So
I'll be honest with you, I never did the test.
So I'll just do that then.
Okay, so lifestyle catch up out of the way.
Now that we've got that out of the way, can I?
What
hit
episode
you?
Have we got today, Andy?
We have season 5, episode 3. Homer goes to college.
Now let me stop you before we dive into the episode.
Please do.
Because I'm just going to put my hand in the old...
We haven't.
Mailbag.
Hello. Brilliant.
We got a little bit of a message here from Timothy Burleson.
Timothy. Writes, brilliant.
Cheers, mates. Loved the show and almost caught up. I thought I'd share this PDF of the Newsweek. Or should that have been Newsweek? He spells it N-E-W-S-W-E-E-Q-U-E. Nice bit of wordplay there. that he doesn't think it was available in the UK. It's kind of a puff piece, of course, but it does have a lot of pretty pictures. And they said it's kind of a big file, but he sent it to himself, and then he said he'll keep up the great show with a love that will echo through the ages. Tiny.
Woody.
And there's a little winky emoji there as well. Thank you so much for the email, Timothy. And thank you for the PDF file. I had a quick browse through it earlier on. Reading it on a phone, it doesn't do it justice, obviously. Because,
yeah, I was reading it on the phone too.
But there was some good stuff in there, like sort of Homer's top five moments, Marge's top five moments, you know. And it's just interesting, some of the stuff they picked. Funnily enough, one of Homer's top five moments was when he hangs out with the nerds in Homer Goes to College.
Oh, brilliant. What a coincidence.
With the pig. But they do a little, I think it was like the 30 best guest stars, and they have a whole section devoted to our friend John Lovitz.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a loving Lovitz or something like that.
I noticed there was a part in it about 8 reasons why season 8 is the best season.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring that up with you. You're a season 5 guy, right?
Yeah, season 5 so far is my number one.
I'm season 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, season 6 is another my favorite episode, and I think, there's just so many. But 7 and 8, I think, are also part of that golden age. And then 9 is...
Would you even class 9 in the B category?
I think so. You sort of get into one. There's dead ones on it. 9 is like the one, say, where they're going to the Model UN, the kids, and they end up doing Lord of the Flies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, they were rescued by someone, let's say, Mo. And it's like, oh, okay. That's the writing, is it? Okay.
It's like, funny.
It is funny, but it's like, oh, it's just lazy.
Yeah, it's lazy, yeah.
Yeah, but like, they know
that's getting a bit wishy-washy around that stage, isn't it? Jeez, yeah, I didn't think it was that soon.
There's Homer Goes to New York, and I think the one... Oh, yeah, that's season 9? Crush 'em, right?
See, they're really strong as well.
Yeah, so there's some... For those of you that don't know, that one is when Lisa goes downtown on her own.
Equality episode. Bridge. You want a boss?
Oh, you said that crush 'em, right?
You said that crush 'em, right? I keep thinking should we go into the inside joke about the shop when we kept using that joke. There was a guy who I think was it you were working with him and
no, it was you and Andy, I believe.
Yeah.
You and our other friend Andy. And he told him to
told Stan to keep the boxes, I think. He said, Can you keep as many boxes as possible or something that they were needed for something? And he came back and he was like, he's like,
perfectly folded, taken apart.
I crushed all the boxes. And then the joke just kept going. Yes, I had that crash on, right?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Good times.
Yeah.
Anyway, have you got some trivia for me for this episode?
I do. I do indeed. And thank you again, Timothy, for that email. It's great to receive fan mail.
Anybody else has anything they would like to send us, you know the email address. It's putitinhpod@gmail.com.
That's putitinhpod@gmail.com. Right, so Homer Goes to College. Bit of trivia for you. It aired October 14th, 1993. It was actually Conan O'Brien's last sole writing credit. He would leave the series.
Last one.
Yeah, he was part of a Halloween special after that, but this is his last sole writing credit. And he gave the he left the series halfway through the season to host Late Night with Conan O'Brien. And he was actually working on this episode when he was told that he got the job for Conan.
I listened to the commentary for this episode
years
ago. I think he might have given me the DVD. He said he got the call off Leno, and it's like, so you're taking over from Letterman, huh?
That's a pretty dead on Leno as well.
Hey Brady, you're dead.
The whole thing was, and again, before we even continue, Conan O'Brien was, for me back in those days, a real seal of approval. I couldn't believe when I went back to watch them, like as an adult, I was like, is that the same Conan O'Brien? Like, oh, yeah, and you wrote this one, and this one. And I was like, oh, he was like one of the main writers.
It makes sense that as well, that I think it's this season where Bart goes on his show.
Oh, yeah. Only I made it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, he would have just been fresh in the
I think he's in the like, seat. I think he's like the best talk show host.
Oh, he's great. All this stuff, I mean, we went through about a week of watching all of his, I don't know if you've seen any of his like just sort of special things on YouTube for like 5-10 minutes where they go carpooling with like Ice Cube and Kevin Hart, but like, or just him with his staff. It's like Team Coco. He's like, it's like game reviews, or it's him like, you know, confronting his staff member who's always late or something like that. But it's just, he's so funny. Like, I'd be absolutely crying laughing. So,
what I love about him as the host, he has that like laid back rapport, and he'll let them go wherever the guests go, wherever they want to go. Like, many times Will Ferrell has been on in character as like Robert Goulet or Ron Burgundy or
Robert Goulet,
and he just has that whole like breezy, okay, this guy's just going to improv. I'm just going to let him go. And like,
he knows.
He's cracking up as much as anybody else. Like,
you can tell he's got like a comedy past, you know, like comedy writing and all that. He knows when to just let people go with the flow. So yes, this was his last solo writing credit. One thing I thought that was funny was when the bit where Homer is like, I am so smart. SMRT. I mean, SMART. That was actually a genuine mistake by Dan Castellaneta.
I didn't
he accidentally misspelled it, and the writers thought it was hilarious because it seemed like something Homer would do, so they left the joke in, which I thought was great. And it's one of those sort of jokes that like, it did seem a little bit off like that, you know, like
I when watching back on it, I was like, that, I don't know, it doesn't, there's no real flow to the joke, I guess.
Yeah,
doesn't seem like a written joke.
Yeah, exactly. And then he, as I said, it finished in, or it aired in October 93. It got a Nielsen rating of 11.3 and was viewed in 10.5 million households. And it's gotten very good sort of reviews over the years. The authors of our favorite book, who get a frequent mention, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide, says, Homer is at his most excruciatingly stupid in another superb episode. His attitude to the college's stuffy old dean is a joy. Someone else said that Homer's line, curly straight, while he torments the pig, as instantly memorable. Which, yes, it is instantly memorable, but we'll get to it, I guess.
Okay.
Now, there was one thing I did actually notice about this episode, a goof, if you will, or a gaffe, if you prefer, that in season two, Homer gets the job at the nuclear power plant because he's told it's one of the remaining jobs that doesn't need a college degree. Yeah. Yet in this episode, clearly he has to get a college degree to keep it.
Well, hold on a second, though, because he has since been promoted.
Was he promoted?
In the job. Oh, yeah. Oh,
God.
He started off as a nuclear technician, and then he got promoted to safety officer or whatever.
Nuclear safety technician.
Remember he was like, I think there was one where he went to kill himself. Do you remember one of the early episodes where he was like,
oh, yeah,
Homer, he was going to kill himself. And then he's like, he almost gets hit by a car. And it's like, oh, my God, there should be a stop sign here.
Oh, yeah.
And then he becomes the safety guy and then gets the promotion.
That's dark.
Falls out the window at the end. I think that's season one, season two. Probably.
And that would have been back when it was proper kids.
I need safety in this town, Mr. Burns.
This is a trap. It's gonna catch us our dinner. His voice.
Oh,
shut
boy.
Up, boy.
Let's go out for frosty chocolate milkshakes.
Clean as a whistle, Homer.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, I have a bit. I have one piece of trivia.
Yeah, I'm all out. So hit me.
It's Conan O'Brien related, and he said he based three nerds on three guys that lived in his dorm when he was in Harvard.
Brilliant.
He said he remembered they would drop phone books on the floor at night, so girls who lived on the floor below would come up and complain wearing their nightgowns.
That's actually genius.
Yeah. Creeps.
Brilliant.
And of course, you can see this, the theme of this episode, I get it out of the way now, it's like Animal House or
yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds, I guess.
There's a lot of cultural references in this one episode. Yeah. References a lot of, you know, popular movies and shows and stuff like that. So, What do you remember what your couch gag was?
It was the foot, wasn't it? It was the like...
Yeah. Blah. The Monty Python, yeah. Which I guess is an ode to the nerds. Saying we are the knights.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess they're supposed to be nerds. Anyway, shall we get into the episode proper?
Please.
So the first opening scene. First of all, the music. It just puts me, you know, we were talking about all these great cold opens we're having.
Yeah.
I like this is a different type of cold open. Like it is opening on The Simpsons, but it's like almost setting the tone of like.
That like Hawaiian.
Not quite
sort
a Western.
Of,
yeah. You know, like it's like, just like, okay, well.
It's like that sort of
dream,
slide.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's, we're going at a slower pace to start.
Yeah,
and
basically everybody's asleep. At
Homer,
the plant.
Yeah, that's a great little montage as well. Like Lenny's in the hammock and Burns is asleep.
Yeah.
And Smithers is curled up
like a dog.
Some great little touches.
Yeah,
yeah, and then Homer rolls over and hits a button on the core meltdown button. Of course, you would have there. And I like it's a basset hound beside him.
Yeah. Like, why as well? When do you ever see this dog in any other episode?
Yeah.
It's just a giant basset hound.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And the fact
but
that
they
always know it's him, like, because it's like, good boy. Like anytime there's a meltdown, it's the dog.
Yeah. But I like how it's like 10, 9, and then it's just like 8. It's like 8, and then it's just... They don't even try and drag out the tension.
Yeah.
It's like the dog does it. Like,
yeah, that's
like
true,
hitting
actually.
A snooze button on an alarm or something like that. Like,
yeah, it's very well done, actually.
And then we get a couple of visitors.
Stop right there, Terry. We have already got our first clip of the episode. We will play it and come back.
Disturb me during nap time.
We're from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. This is a surprise test of worker competence.
There must be some mistake. We make cookies here. Mr. Burns' old-fashioned good time, extra chewy.
Get the axe.
The watchdog of public safety. Is there any lower form of life?
Don't worry, sir. I rounded up our less gifted employees and led them into the basement.
Homer, why are we down here?
Oh, jeez. I told you, Bernie, to guard the bee.
But why?
Oh, you guys are pathetic. No wonder Smithers made me head bee guy.
It's getting away.
Oh, we did bad.
Oh, hey, come back. Is there a Homer Simpson present?
Oh, I'm afraid he couldn't be here.
Yes. Oh, yes, he's in Geneva chairing a conference on nuclear fission. Yes, that should stick.
Oh, the bee bit my bottom! Now my bottom's big!
Homer, this is an exact replica of your workstation. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to simulate a power surge in Core Sector 8.
What the hell are you talking about? What do I do? What do I do? In the name of God, you've got to tell me!
Relax, it's just a simulator. Nothing can go wrong.
Just poke blindly at the controls until they let you go.
No, this can't be happening!
For the love of God, sir, there are two seats.
I like to put my feet up.
So my favorite moment of the clip was they're in the basement. It's Homer and Bernie.
The voice.
Homer, why are we down here? Yeah. But why?
Yeah. It's getting away.
Oh, we did bad.
I love as well before that where he's like, we make cookies here. Mr. Burns, old fashioned, good time, extra chewy. Get the axe. But one thing that I noticed in this scene especially, and I noticed throughout the episode, did you find that the animation was very weird in this episode?
Yeah, I was just going to say it.
It was
kind of same animation as Homer's bypass episode.
Yeah. Like when Homer's chasing the bee, for example, his legs are like, it's like a season, it's like he's chasing Bart in season one, basically. He's got that sort of like just hop step back and forth.
And even when he comes out and it's like, the bee bit my bottom.
Yeah.
It's like the way his arse is supposed to be, it's bad looking.
It is bad looking. It's like super cartoony. And there's this, and I picked up, I mean, a few times in the episode, but then I picked up, there's a scene where they're at the dinner table in this episode where they're eating toast and the camera's just on Homer and he's like looking, talking to Marge. And you're just like, oh my God, they make him look, his eyes are just going in complete, like two flies going in the wrong direction. Like, I think I might actually use that as the still for this episode because it was so jarring. It's just like, what are they doing with the animation?
It reminds me of when he's like taunting the dolphin in season 4. Like, and his eyes are just
coming out of
my head. Yeah.
I don't know what was going on there. And I was looking to see was it a season 4 episode? Was it like, you know, carried on?
Apparently, they said this was actually, I think it is a season 4 because they said they were going to use this as the season opener.
Okay.
Because of the references to Animal House and Revenge of the Nerds, and they thought it'd be, you know, grabbed by the sort of not zeitgeist, but it would, you know, grab attention.
Yeah.
And then once they got George Harrison sort of stuff, they said actually that would be better.
Probably the right choice.
So I'd say it is a right. Yeah.
One thing.
Back to the clip.
I
Burns and Smithers. For the love of God, Burn, sir, let me in.
I like to put my feet up. As well, the fact that where they're just like, I'm actually jumping ahead. Was that in the clip where he's in the simulator?
Yeah.
What do I do? Where he's like, it's just a simulator. Nothing can go wrong. I just love that idea of like, even in a simulator, he's so dumb that he'll cause a nuclear meltdown with something that's not supposed to be nuclear active at all.
I love that guy's voice as well. Like,
yeah, it's just a simulator.
He's like, there's a big problem, Burns. After they can't figure out how he, because there's no nuclear material in the simulator.
Very well, it's time for your bribe. Now you can either have the washer and dryer where the lovely Smithers are standing, or you can trade it all in for what's in the box.
The box. And did you notice that the woman with your man is just Maude Flanders?
You know what? I didn't at the time, but now that you mention it, she is exactly Maude Flanders, just with a hard hat on.
The exact same voice, the same red hair, like maybe a little less eye makeup on, but
a bit more sassy.
Yeah, she's got more of a spine, all right.
And of course, Mayor Quimby then rocks up with the the fur coat with the price tag still on. I decided.
Like, you can't just
be no investigation.
But I love it. Like, it's that classic Simpson setup. Like, you can't just throw money at it. It's like the exact opposite happens.
Yeah, exactly what they don't want to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of the joke when Homer does melt down the simulator, where he comes out like, must destroy mankind.
I don't particularly like it because it's real jarring.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd only seen the episode from when Homer had been to college and like missed the start of it. Because I remember at one point during my life, like, flicking through and this episode was on, and when Homer crawls out luminous green, I was like, what am I watching here? Like, what is this? And then like I watched for a few more minutes and I was like, oh, it's this episode. I'd never seen the start, obviously. Like,
brilliant. I love those sort of episodes though, where you just catch them. Where you don't even know, you know, you haven't seen them before, that you just see them like a year or two later.
Yeah. There's only been a handful. That one was one. The sugar one was another one for me that I...
Yeah.
Everybody used to be talking about it. I'd never seen it. I was like, what are you talking about?
What a treat, though, when you get to see it. Like,
when he gets all the sugar, I was like, oh.
I had the same one, as I said before, with our friends one, where they're stuck, locked out of the car in the snow at the gas station. I was like, where is this
episode? Oh, it was like one of the...
Yeah. It was one of the best ones. I was like, I've never seen this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we get... Burns... he does a great thing. He's like, I get the feeling you'll be dropping the charges.
It's such a great visual right gag.
Yeah.
It just opens, the like, and door. They all just turn around, like, huh?
The painters moved your desk, sir.
Oh yes.
And then we get Burnsy and his lawyers are over at the Simpsons. They're in the neighborhood and they thought they'd stop by.
And like, the fact that it's like the neighbor, like, or the lawyers are just happened to be in the neighborhood and just thought they'd stop by.
Yeah.
And then when Marge offers them tea and marshmallow squares, they have to have a discussion first.
Yeah. Yes, they would. And turns out that they want Homer to go to college. Bart being hilarious. Barbara clown.
Joke's on him, because he did go to clown college afterwards. But still.
Well, it's a bit of foreshadowing. Yeah. I don't think any of us expect to say that.
That's a great guy, actually. I've had enough of you people standing in my way.
I really like the whole thing where he's like, you know, the future of your family hinges on successful completion of Nuclear Physics 101. Oh, and one more thing. You must find the Jade Monkey before the next full moon.
Actually, sir, we found the Jade Monkey. It was in your glove compartment.
And the roadmaps and the ice scraper?
They were in there too, sir.
Excellent. It's all falling into place.
Like, what's he up to?
Yeah, but like, I like how it's like the other two. It's a great little joke that it's like the roadmaps and the ice scraper would be in the glove compartment as well.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's the best thing about it.
Oh, Burnsy is just, I mean, like, even though. Well, I was going to say he doesn't have a lot to do, but the bits that he is in here in this episode and even in scenes to come, he's just like, I never remembered him as being so funny. He's right up there in my secondary character.
He's like always been one of my favorites.
He's and brilliant. Like,
this season forward, I think, is when he starts to like really hit his stride.
Yeah.
And like, you can see that like they start, like they give him his own episode. And
yeah.
You know, at the end of season 6, it's Who Shot Mr. Burns. You know, it's sort of, they really start to flesh him out. Like, even, I think it's season 6 as well, is the film festival.
Oh, yeah.
episode. So it's kind of, yeah, you know, you get a lot of time with him as well.
He's great.
So he really, It really starts to grow as a character, I think, around this year.
Yeah, exactly. Because I never even considered him, you know, in that area. I thought he's just one of those sort of, not filler characters, because that'd be harsh, but, you know, just one of those sort of, he's there, but he actually just gives so much. Every scene, I'm laughing when he's in it.
Yeah, well, there's a doozy of one next week, one of my all-time favorites.
Burn-centric.
But we'll save it till then. Yeah. Anyway, Homer is saying that he always wanted to go to college, but fate stood in his way. You get this flashback to him, basically. All he has to do is sign his name, and he gets to go.
And also, but like, what sort of guidance counselor is this, where like, he's like, all he has to do is sign
that it. That was my question.
It's like, he just happens to go and chase a dog who's got somebody's ham. Give me that ham, you stupid dog. But like, he just...
But like, throws it away. Like, just get him to come back in.
Yeah. Say, hang on, come back here for a sec. Just sign that there. Okay, off you go. Simple.
Then you can go play with the dog. It's
now, I didn't get. I didn't get the joke on the next. Well, I guess I did. Where they're talking about list your three favorite books and how they've influenced your life. Is TV Guide a book? Son of Sniglet? Catherine Hepburn's Me? No! But, like, I don't know what Son of Sniglet is, like, or what Catherine Hepburn's Me is about, or, like, do you get any of those?
Catherine Hepburn's Me, I'd say, is an autobiography of Catherine Hepburn.
Oh, it's not a biography? You
know, that's what I thought it was. Like, it's Catherine Hepburn, like, Me. Is the name of the book.
Like
a slam on Catherine Hepburn.
Hepburn, slam. Sniglet, slam.
Yeah. I don't know what... Hold on, I'm going to look up Son of Sniglet.
Please do. It's a great name.
Sniglet.
Son of Sniglet. God bless Google.
Homer Simpson. No.
What?
It just keeps coming back. It's like the only reference you get is from this episode. Like,
what the hell? Does it exist?
A Sniglet is defined as any word that doesn't appear in the dictionary but should.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on a sec.
It's like jokes we don't get page 2. That's on it as well. Like,
huh? So we're not the only ones. Yeah, let me just have a quick look here. I know we shouldn't be doing this on air, but Son of Sniggly.
You're going to get the same thing I did, buddy.
Yep. Yep, sure did. Well, it's in God's hands now.
Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, go on.
Is a memoir. It's her memoir.
I know. I like the fact when he's filling out the
slam.
When he's filling out the application. when he's filling out the application. He's just sitting there like a schoolgirl, like just on the floor.
Yeah,
like with his legs in the air.
And then it's like he puts the picture. This gave me a huge laugh. It's like he's like, a photo can't make any difference. Like, he looks crazy. Agreed. Reading his essay would only waste valuable seconds.
It's such an outrageous picture as well.
It's like stuffing all the cake into his face. Like.
While didn't he also have like red eye as well?
The red eyes, yeah.
It was a great touch.
I like this as well. We get a ad on the TV.
Oh. Finally, the great taste of Worcestershire sauce in a soft drink. Ah, steaky. I love the fact that you can just hear it, like you don't even see it.
Yeah. You don't. I think it's better, all the better for it. Like.
Definitely.
And then Homer comes in and he wants to change, because it's a program about campus life that he should really watch.
I'll stop you there, Terry. We have the program.
Ooh.
So I'll shut my mouth and play it.
We now return to School of Hard Knockers, starring Corey Masterson.
Dean Bitterman, I hope nothing unsavory happens during my visit. As you know, I am the President of the United States.
Oh, don't worry. I've expelled those rowdy members of Chug-a-Lug House.
Oh, I hate that lousy Dean.
Your bra bomb better work, Nerdlinger. Okay.
Corey? Oh, don't worry, Mr. President. Mr. President!
Lighten up, Bitterman. That youngster will make a perfect addition to my cabinet. Secretary of Partying Down!
Yes! Take that, Bitterman!
Homie, here are the responses from the colleges you applied to.
Don't! 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 Woohoo! Flyer for a hardware store! Don't!
Well, Pop, what are you gonna do?
Something I should have done a long time ago.
You don't know, do you?
No, ma'am.
Don't worry, Simpson. It just so happens I have a chair at Springfield University.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burns, but I must object. This Simpson is not qualified.
I see. Well, you know, fellas, I look at the admissions board a lot like a baseball team. You all like baseball, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, well, to have a successful baseball club, you need teamwork. Not some hot dog admissions officer playing by his own rules!
Excuse me, what are you doing?
I'm giving you the beating of your life.
Look, stop that. If you wanted him that badly, why didn't you just say so?
Smithers, dismember the corpse and send his widow a corsage.
I'll tell you one of my favorite bits from this fairly long scene, but to be honest, I mean, like, I was looking for the cutoff point, but it just kept going with the funny, so I just left it. Your man's like, Secretary of Partying Down, and the growl on Bitterman, and it's like this sort of twitchy turn.
I hear you, I love
Oh, I thought it was so funny.
I remember, like, you, who admittedly is not a big Futurama fan,
yes,
you love that episode of Robot House.
Probably the best one.
And especially you're like, it's like, ooh, man, like, he, at the end when he has to, like, march in the parade, you just see, like, his gritted teeth. The way he's marching, he has, like, this, like, gritted teeth, and, like, so angrily.
He has to do it, but he's, like,
lying with the,
That was probably Futurama's best joke.
Nothing better than an angry Dean.
I love it. And then the fact where Homer is like, he's so invested, he's like, yes, take that, Bitterman.
I like the way he's like, well, first of all, I love it. It's like, I hope nothing unsavory happens during visit. As you know, I am President of the United States.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'll tell you
don't
what.
Don't worry. I expect those rowdy members of Chug-a-Lug.
I tell you what, one of the best, like, the bit that also made me laugh hard was, he's like, yes, well, to have a successful baseball team, I can't even do it, it's just the way he delivers it, he's like, to have a successful baseball club, hot dog admissions officer playing by his own rules, like, he's about to just wail on him. The lightest.
I love
tap.
Your man is just like,
yeah, what are you doing?
He's just there with his cigar as well. Like.
And like, one thing I was like, it would take more effort to hit him as light as he hit him. You know, even if he just let the bat fall, it would hurt him more. The fact that he's still holding it, and it's like the little pitter patter sound of it hitting him is just so funny.
I like the gag of that. He's like, I've got a chair on the board, and it's like,
yeah,
this
giant gargoyle, like, on the top.
Yeah. And the dog was like,
yeah. Great. And then the fact that he thinks like the job is done, where he's like, dismember the corpse, send his widow a corsage.
He's wrecked. So then we get that aforementioned bit of Homer doing the SMRT.
SMART.
Yeah, burns down the hall. Yeah.
Again, really burns weird animation. House.
And then Homer and Marge are on his way to college.
Nerd.
Wishes his father was alive to see this.
He's like, hey!
That's a real, like, recurring grandpa joke.
Where he just pops up. And then it's always a recurring joke that he pops up and then they get scared and then he gets scared back. Like,
Don't do that!
Give me the keys!
So, like you say, Homer sees a nerd and calls out, nerd!
Homer, that isn't very nice.
And he tells Marge, there are two kinds of college students, jocks and nerds. As a jock, it is my duty to give nerds a hard time. And he sees quite a sporty-looking fellow going by.
Straight away, he thinks he can bomb with him over it, like, hey, pal, you got a load of the nerd?
I love how it's like, pardon me?
And the fact that Homer identifies with himself as a jock is that he's that deluded.
Yeah, it's like big balding fat man is a jock. Like, and then we get our clip from the start of the episode where Homer is spiking the punch. Dan Castellaneta on double duty here, playing Homer and then the person who takes a sup of the spiked punch.
One thing I thought with this as well, I didn't actually notice that was both Dan Castellaneta. I can never pronounce his name. Die Hard Simpsons podcast, and I can't pronounce his name. But when like they freak out about the punch being spiked, I was like, that's actually what colleges are like these days. And I remember being so surprised, and like more so in like America, I think. I mean, granted, I know nothing. I don't live there. But like whenever you sort of see or hear, or whenever I do, like comedians, like some comedians like won't play colleges because it's too like PC, you know, like, and I would have thought the exact opposite.
Nowadays.
Is it like that here even? Because I would have thought like college is the place where you could do your sort of most controversial material because they're all young and like, you know, not offended, but they obviously are. A lot of them.
Now they are, because there's just so much more information. There's so, like, everything is, it's that outrage culture thing.
They're just looking for the next thing, like.
You know, there's a platform there to give out about stuff.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Like, you know, at the end of your thumb, like.
It's an outrage sort of competition where it's like, you think you're outraged? Well, here's how much I'm outraged. And it's just a constant sort of one-upsmanship But that seems to be the way colleges are going. But I guess maybe, was it even like that back then? Is that why the joke works, even because, you know, this is 93 and they're like, your parents are on the way? Or was that just life imitating art?
I think it's just to show how, I think it is life imitating art. I think it's just like the whole, like, okay, we're going to, because Homer is going to college when he's so much older.
Yeah.
Like, he's completely out of touch.
Right, yeah.
I think it's just to like show the like flip side of, okay, well, wouldn't it be funny if there was actually nobody there that liked to party?
Yeah.
And I like that how it's like it must be some crusty bitter old dean. It's like,
he's the nicest guy.
I'm Dean Peterson, but you can call me Bobby. And I just want to know if you ever feel stressed out from studying or whatever. I'm always up for some hacky sack. Or if you just want to come by and jam, I used to be the bass player for the Pretenders.
Boy, I can't wait to take some of that starch out of that stuffed shirt. I love the fact that Dean's like the nicest guy. You can call me Bobby.
I think his voice is perfect as well.
Yeah, I agree.
The guy they get to do.
Is that one of the regulars?
Like, so fitting. I think it's one of the nerds.
Oh, really?
So I don't think it is one of the regulars. I think it's the nerd with the... It's the guy, are we to believe this is some sort of magic xylophone or whatever?
I
withdraw
can hear it
request.
Now.
And next up we get Homer is sitting in his first college class.
Let me stop you there, Terry. This was possibly my favorite clip of the episode. But we'll play it and come back.
Good morning and welcome to Nuclear Physics 101. I see a lot of new faces, but you know the old saying, out with the old, in with the nucleus. Now we'll begin by... Oops.
Oh, did you see that jerk? He dropped his notes!
Now, if anyone would like to stay, I'm going to hold a comprehensive review session after every class.
Do we have to?
No.
Then kiss my curvy butt goodbye.
When I was watching the episode, this scene gave me the biggest laugh so far. Since starting rewatching.
Oh, right, really?
Yeah, since doing the podcast. And I was in work and everything, and I was watching on my computer, and I was trying, because I didn't want to draw attention to the fact, oh, what are you watching, or whatever, but I was like, I was trying to be quiet, but I was crying laughing at the bit where, like, first of all, it's a combination of the two, because the bit where he drops his notes is the money bit, but it's like the fact that it's set up before that, like, he doesn't get the sort of smart, like, nuclear joke or whatever, and then the bit that he laughs at, he drops his notes, it's the laugh it's that like, he has.
Now we're beginning with
oops. Like, and the laugh on him. It's the most like genuine laugh I think I've heard in The Simpsons. Like, how did you see that jerk?
And like, dropped his notes.
That is so funny. I was laughing for I had to pause it. I was laughing so much at that. I don't know why. It tickled me so much.
The second part of the clip isn't as strong in my opinion. But I thought it was fun to see Homer chase an animal with a high pitched, you know,
that
was enjoyable.
I like it, but there's something about that gag that sort of rubs me up the wrong way. I don't know why.
Well, it's the second time they've done it in the episode.
You're like, all right.
The first one was the dog with the ham, and this one was chasing the squirrel.
But I like the fact that he's not even.
And you've also had. It's just a real repetitive one. It's like, you know, he's done it numerous other times, or he will do. Or it's like, that dog has a puffy tail.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of been played, isn't it? And I like the fact that like he hasn't grasped the concept of like, you know, like when you go to college, like it's all on you to show up or to study or whatever. No one's going to tell you. So as soon as he hears, he doesn't have to. He's like, he thinks he's been so cool. like it's in school. Kiss my curvy butt. Goodbye. Quality scene, anyway.
Yeah, very good. Next, we get Homer kicking it in his bed, listening to a bit of Lua Lua. He has the, you know, stereotypical college posters on his wall, Albert Einstein, and, you know.
Yeah, it's like, it's all stereotypical. I'd actually have loved that room. I remember thinking as a kid, like, I had real pride in my room when I was a kid. Like, it wasn't necessarily clean, but, like, I had, like, a foosball table in there. I had, like, you know, posters and all that, like, you know, a TV. Ooh, it was like a little... I know. like whenever I got something, I just wanted something for my room.
A foosball table!
I know. Yeah, it was a cheap one, but it was a foosball table and all that. So, like, it was like my own little sort of apartment in there. I remember even seeing when I seen Homer with the cinder block shelf and the lava lamp and all, I was like, oh, I'd love that room.
You want to go.
I had room envy as a kid.
So Marge just sort of... admonishing Homer for saying they have a perfectly good bookcase, and Homer is it's not costing us. He swiped the cinder blocks from a construction site.
Sir, 6 cinder blocks are missing.
There'll be no hospital then. I'll tell the children.
Such a great little joke.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, we won't try and get any more.
That's
stop production. And then we are back in college, and We hear this proton accelerator destabilizes the atom in the chamber here, then propels it.
Excuse me, Professor Brainiac, but I worked in a nuclear power plant for 10 years, and I think I know how a proton accelerator works. He's like Professor Brainiac.
Yeah. Such a jerk. Well, please come down and show us.
All right, I will.
Cut to
meltdown number two.
Yeah. I like how he's just like walking out and like, in there, guys.
Thanks, Homer. He just walks out like radioactive.
I think that caring. Like that makes the first joke better. You get me?
Yeah.
Retroactively, not radioactively, retroactively.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I like the fact that as well, like when he's getting like reprimanded by the dean, that he's like, you know, even the dean, yeah. He's still so nice. Like, no one blames you for the accident.
Dean is so nice.
He's the nicest guy. He's like, I researched these names myself. Already, Homer's pissed off.
Like, you won this round, Dean, but the war isn't over.
Now, the next bit where he runs out and calls him on the phone, I have a huge problem with this joke. I mean, I literally have in my notes, really? Like, that's the best they could do? Yeah. It's like, he calls him, it's like, hello, Dean, you are a stupid head.
I love the idea of him immediately prank calling him.
Yeah.
And getting caught by the dean, but like it just the feels line, like they wasted a stupid head.
Like, is he three?
Yeah. And like, I know Homer's supposed to be an idiot, whatever. But yeah.
I didn't like it at all.
We get Homer going over to his new tutors. I love how he's just like, "Hi again!" Like, just bursts in.
Intruder alert.
But Homer, like, seems to find them, like, good-natured, or, you know, he seems to be enjoying their antics at the start. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and he's, like, laughing at their stuff. And, you know, if it's one thing they know, it's science and math, and the words to every Monty Python routine.
We are the knights who say, neat, 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 neat. Now...
That was you and your mates in Art School of
Never.
That's you, that is.
I did like Monty Python in school. But I don't know if I could watch it now. I could watch, like, The Life of Brian now. But I don't know if I could watch The Holy Grail now.
You wouldn't watch... would you not? I think The Holy Grail is better.
I thought The Life of Brian was twice as good. I thought, like, The Holy Grail sort of took a real dip.
Wow, okay.
The Life of Brian... Now, I saw The Life of Brian first, so maybe I just hold that in higher regard, but, like...
Yeah. I saw The Life of Brian first as well. I think that's kind of why I liked The Holy Grail better, because it seemed a bit more...
Fresher?
Like, less polished, like, a bit more raw, like,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's definitely great, like, but, yeah.
More...
If I had to pick one.
Like, that whole thing with the rabbit, I think, is one of the funniest.
He's like, look!
Jokes.
Oh, it's just a rabbit.
Straight in, like, it just flies out.
Straight line in the air. Okay, I changed my mind.
So, Homer is telling the guys at the dinner table what he got up to, and they played Dungeons and Dragons for 3 hours. Then he was slain by an elf.
Listen to yourself, man. You're hanging with nerds.
Shut you up. Take that back. And, like, sticks a knife in his face.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Did you know what it was?
I did.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah, and like Marge, like, these boys sound very nice, but they're clearly nerds.
What I like is as well about Marge in this episode is that, like, she just doesn't like the nerds. Like, she's not like her usual self where she's give them a chance and all this sort of stuff.
She has no patience.
Yeah, she's no patience for the nerds.
Did you get the list of names that the nerds that have done pretty memorable things? nerds of note.
I thought this was a great... What I liked about this joke is that I didn't recognize any of the names. You know? Now, I don't know if that's just why I got a kick out of it or if that is the joke. But, I mean, it's like some nerds of note include popcorn magnate Orville Redenbacher, rock star David Byrne, and Supreme Court Justice David Souter.
Well, you know who David Byrne is.
Who's David Byrne?
Because... He's terrified you after you sat and watched a concert movie with him.
Oh, not him.
May or may not have been taking some hallucinogens.
My God. You've ruined the Talking Heads for me. It was the first and only time I've seen or heard the Talking Heads. And every time it comes on the radio, if I'm driving the car, I get a little shiver. I'm like, oh, God.
It's a city in my mind. All day by day, it's all right.
It's, like,
it's all right. I actually went to see David Byrne play a couple of weeks ago in the Tree Arena.
Oh, yeah?
It was one of the best gigs I've ever been.
Really?
It was like an art installation or something.
Oh, really?
Brilliant. Unreal. His band, yeah, you know the way the one we watched, Stop Making Sense? They were like setting up the stage as they went along.
I don't remember that they were doing that, but I remember it being crazy.
You don't remember that?
I mean, no, I don't know what was actually going on. I just know what was going on in my own head.
Well, this one started with, it was like just him on stage and there was no equipment and that there was a table and a chair and then there was like a prop brain. So like he picked up the brain, he was singing a song, but it was like he was singing to the brain.
Cool.
But then as it went on, yeah, it was deadly. They were like, what the fuck is this? But then it was, so there was no, like, you know the way you'd have like, what would you call it? A stand, I guess, for like the drums and stuff like that, yeah. Like, or for the piano.
Yeah.
You know, there was none of that. So, and there was like five different types of drummers, but they all had them strapped to the front of them and they were all like walking around.
Deadly.
Banging the drums like a marching band.
That's
so
good.
At times during the songs, like the guitarist, there's the guy who's playing the piano and the keyboard was strapped to him as well.
Yeah.
But they'd all be marching in formation at times and stuff. It was fucking
cool.
Unreal.
That'd be great.
Really, really good. Like it was, but like you've gone to an art installation come to life. Like it was,
yeah,
fantastic.
It's great. It's great when you go,
yeah,
to a
really,
gig like
really
that.
Good.
That's just something out of the ordinary. Like.
I think they're doing a DVD of it, so I'd really be like want to go back and watch it again because it's just brilliant.
Don't include me in that one.
I say, let's get super high again.
Surely it won't happen again.
Couldn't possibly be. Anyway,
that's another podcast.
The nerds are saying. Yeah, the nerds are saying that he'll never pass the course if he doesn't know the periodic table.
I'll write it on my hand.
Including all known lanthanides and actinides. Good luck.
That was a great joke. I like the fact that they all laughed as well.
Yeah. But you can see why, I don't know why Homer likes them so much, but you can see why other people don't like them.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of like
sarcastic.
Snobby.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And then Homer says, I'm going to show you the true meaning of college. We're going to go out and party.
I'll put on my snow pants. Me too.
Me too. And the next scene, how many cases of beer
I know.
In the back.
And the way Bart is like, it's like Homer's like the bigger brother or something. He's like, if you're going for a ride, I'd like you to take Bart and Lisa.
But Marge, we're college guys and we're up to no good.
Mr. Simpson, Gary spilled his ear medicine. I like her. Go on.
Go on.
When they go, like the fact that like they've gone to the baby ducks exhibit, like to please the kid, I can't believe they let us walk right up and feed them. And Homer's face is just so disgruntled, wearing like the petting zoo hat.
Homer and Bart's face are the exact same.
Yeah.
Like, Lisa's really happy, and the nerds seem happy, but the two of them were like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So we're back in the dorm, and Homer is telling the guys that a big crazy prank is just what the doctor ordered.
I like the fact that he keeps pushing for the fact. He's like, and when he comes out outside, we'll roll him up in a carpet and throw him off a bridge. Like, he keeps just
that
wanting...
was something as kids. Do you remember, like, everybody used to say that? Like,
no, that wasn't. I don't remember that one, no.
No, just it was in the circles I ran in.
We had our own ones, but I can't think of them now. But yeah. Roll them up in a carpet and throw them off a bridge.
Gated community folks.
With your foosball tables in your bedrooms.
Yeah. I do like the little reference to Jaws here with Bart, the nails on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a prank you're looking for, is it? I'll give you a prank.
And kidnapping the pig is like funny enough. I do like, I'm a big fan of the name Sir Oinks a lot. I don't know why that tickled me, but it really does like work well. But the fact that the pig is just so fat, it only adds to the joke. It's just such a simple little addition. But it's like, let's just make him hugely oversized.
I really like his here he is presiding over last year's homecoming. Yeah. Here he is conferring an honorary degree on Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
And here he is rolling in his own filth. And then Homer proposes they roll up the carpet and throw him off a bridge. So it cuts straight over to
the iconic
getting the pig and like his, curly stay. But I was looking at it, I was like, the face on the pig.
Yeah.
Before he starts getting uncomfortable, looks really uncomfortable, and then they start making it like, I don't think he his face is just like frozen there, like, and then it's like you can see he's like his mouth and stuff starts moving, and then I like how they all have to restrain him when the pig bites him.
He goes straight for it again.
He's like, Bart is on his leg and he just like fucks Bart off.
Yeah.
And kicks him off.
If this was a character in the real world, he would not be as likable as he is.
Lock this man up. So the guys, I assume it's a couple of days later or whatever. I love this line where it's saying, "Oh, like the pig's acting kind of funny." He's like, "He and Mr. Simpson split a case of malt liquor."
Yeah. And the thud when he faints, I love that joke as well. It's like, "Hello, that sounds like a pig fainting."
Yeah.
And the dean, of course, he's still super nice even when he's expelling them. He's like, he seems genuinely like upset. He's like, "Yeah, I've never expelled anyone before, but that pig had some powerful friends."
Oh, you'll pay. Don't think you won't pay.
And then, this is a joke that I think...
Nixon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God, I hit him. What's that? That's my style. I like to hit him.
That's my style. I like to kick him in the down. I was listening to Billy West on a podcast.
Oh, yes?
Talking about how he was doing the Nixon thing. And he said he was doing a haroo. And he said, what if I made him like part werewolf? That would be his impression of Nixon. So I'd be like, haroo, haroo. That's where that whole thing.
No, I would have never thought
like when
that.
He gets like really excited, he's like, he's like turning into a wolf. Like.
And did they actually go with that, or that's just how he played it?
Yeah. So, like, in Futurama, when he's doing, like, Nixon's head.
Oh, he turns into like,
it. Yeah. No, he didn't turn him into a werewolf, but he's always, like, howling and all. Like, then mouth goes back up and all. Yeah. What a character, Nixon.
I like when...
I'm actually fascinated by him in real life as well. Like,
really? I don't know much about him. I've never seen that Frost Nixon or anything like that. But
it's great.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah.
One of those what?
One of those. Classics? Nah, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. One of those important movies.
Why don't you enlighten me? I see.
Go on.
It's not even that important. It's a like a it's a footnote in like history.
You know what? I would watch Creep 2 all day before that, and I've seen Creep 2, and I didn't like it.
You didn't like Creep 2? I haven't you know watched what? The second one yet.
That's not true. Creep 1 and 2, I'll only say this. I didn't think that either of them were good movies, but I thoroughly enjoyed watching both of them, if that makes sense.
They're intriguing. Like, the first one was very intriguing.
Yeah, like, I was never bored. Like, it wasn't a good movie, but I was never bored.
Like, what is going on here? Yeah. Like, you know, you're constantly, like, asking the question, like, what is this? Why am I watching here? Like, exactly. What's happening here? Where is this film
going
to go?
Where is it going? Like, yeah.
There's not loads happening. We're like, what is this? Like, we were with this guy, and now he's not in the film anymore.
Yeah.
But yet, his presence is kind of here the whole time. Go watch Creep, guys.
It's a great movie. But back to the episode. Yeah. I like the fact that as soon as they get outside, they fall for it. He's like, oh, wallet, Inspector. Like, I believe that's all in order.
And again, the joke of like, hey, that's not the wallet, Inspector.
Yeah. I was going to say, when they get home, doesn't it really show the age where, like, when he brings them home, that, like, you know, like, say, like, they pick up the phone and it's all the, you know, dial-up tone. It's like, it's making crazy noises.
Those crazy noises. Computer signals.
Some guys at MIT are sending us reasons why Captain Picard is better than Captain Kirk. They're out of their minds.
They're out of their minds. And I love this, how you get to the itchy and scratchy.
Yeah.
The one where Scratchy finally gets itchy. I think it's done really well. Perfect. Just like how like Bart and Lisa are like, it's so important. They're holding each other's hands.
Yeah.
It's that rare moment.
Their eyes are so big.
Being like, yeah.
Now, that's a line but that, like, I use all the time in that whole scene where, you know, like, the nerd plugs it out and all this sort of stuff, and when they get back, it's like, they'll never let it show that again.
You need the outlet for your rock tumbler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and of all things, we need the outlet for our rock tumbler. But, like, when it finally comes back, Scratchy Show! Like, wow! Yeah. They'll never let us show that again. I use that all the time. Anytime I accidentally change the channel and we're watching something, I'm like, oops, sorry. Like, they'll never let us show that again.
I like how all the guys are complaining. You know, Bart says, start digging some nerd holes. Lisa is upset they put the retainers in the dishwasher. And then Homer's like, oh, can't we work something out where we all live in harmony? Right, Marge? Like, no, I want those geeks out of my house.
Yeah, Marge is funny in this one.
But there's something we skipped over as well, where it's like, he's like, what are you going to do? Like, when he didn't get into college.
Yeah.
Homer was like, he's like, something I should have done a long time ago. Yeah. He's like, you don't know, do you? It's like, really taking him there. He's like, no, man. So Homer figures the only antidote for a zany scheme is an even zanier scheme.
Why does it have to be zany?
Yeah. So he's gonna say the nerds are gonna save the dean's life. And then I love this. Homer is like checking his watch and he's like, perfect. And like just like floors it through the campus, ripping around the place. And you get the whole thing of we push him out of the way in exactly 3 seconds.
It's such a well animated scene. And I remember even as a kid doing this, I think I had a recorder, maybe it was when I had the DVD, but like when they're arguing about like should they factor in wind resistance, and the dean just gets run right over. Like Homer's going about 200 miles an hour, first of all. And when the dean gets hit, like I remember slowing it down when I had the DVD, and like his face, like they go through the trouble, even though you only see it for a second, of having the dean's like eyes widened like loads, where he's like, what? Like as he gets
hit. I don't know if you notice the end credits.
No.
Of the episode.
No.
So the end credits of the episode is a load of still shots, but one of them is that one you're talking about, the dean.
Oh, is it?
Like, in midair after being hit by the car. And he has that, like, he looks like he's after being electrocuted or something. Wide eyes, like, oh. It's really, really good.
It's really well done. And then, like, the funny thing is that he's so nice when, like, you know, he's in the hospital afterwards and all that. He's like, I'm sorry for the running you over prank. And then even the dean's like, you know, it's like, well, perhaps I've been a bit of an ogre myself. Like, he's been nothing.
I love Homer. Like, yes, you have. Homer's like, yes, you have. And then Dr. Hibbert tells him what his new hip is going to look like. You're going to have to go. It just snaps off. You're going to have to go easy on it.
I like the fact that they're relieved, the nerds as well, when they get home to their dorm. It's like, you have
no messages.
Zero messages. Like,
So Homer is thankful that they're all back together, and it's like, it's an important thing that we wrapped up all the loose ends next day. So in conclusion, good luck on tomorrow's big final exam.
Exam? This is just like one of those bad dreams. Such a great little thing where he looks down, he's in his underwear.
I like his plan as well. The guys ask him what they're going to do, what he's going to do. And he's like, I've been working on a plan. During the exam, I'll hide under some coats and hope that somehow everything will work out.
Or, with our help, you can cram like you've never crammed before.
Whatever.
I like the fact that, like, he like has a spring in his step and all, and he puts the paper down. Yeah, he slams the paper down. It's like it's like it's such an aggressive stamp where he gets the F. I can't believe you failed.
Yeah. I'm gonna lose my job just because I'm dangerously unqualified.
I like the fact, and then, like, the nerds themselves suggest the cheating. It's like, the only problem is the moral dilemma it raises, which requires, like, that's all he needs to hear. Let's just say I had a help from a little magic box. Now,
change your grade with a computer?
I'll stop you there, Terry. We have a little clip just to round off this this episode, so we will play it. I come back.
An A plus! How did you do it?
Oh, let's just say I had help from a little magic box.
You changed your grade with a computer?
No!
Way to go, Dad!
Look, the important thing is that we all learned a lesson. These guys learned the richness and variety of the world outside college.
No, we didn't.
Oh, then I learned the real value of college is to study and work hard.
No, you didn't. You only passed your course by cheating, which you always taught us was wrong.
True.
And I learned that in order for you to set a good example for your son, you're going to take that course over again without cheating.
Oh, Marge, you're worse than that crusty old dean. Well, I guess it's back to college for me, and that means it's time to... What did I teach you guys?
Party down?
Yes!
So that concludes the episode, that one. I like the fact that they end on sort of a, you know, we've learned nothing. it's got that sort of old college campus ending. Yes, like Dazed and Confused style or something.
Yeah, it's a great capper where it's like, party down.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones that I think it's like iconic ending. Yeah. Like end note. Like, and just get a freeze frame of him in the air.
Excuse me. Oh my god, that wasn't me this time, people.
I'm sorry, folks. that was fish pie from dinner. Rearing its ugly head.
I'm getting that from here.
You can even smell it through your computer.
You got smell-o-vision, folks. And I guess that's the end of the episode.
Shall we get into ratings?
Please. So, Terry, let me ask you. What did you think of it?
Well, I went in with my expectations low. Because I always sort of had it in my head of, yeah, it was never my favorite episode.
Yeah.
But actually, I found it quite the coherent episode
oh.
from start to finish.
Okay.
I got a good few laughs out of it, I have to say, which I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting, considering the last two episodes, I in my memory, I thought were better
yeah.
than this one. But I found I was laughing more at this one than the last two episodes. And maybe it's because I haven't seen it as many times.
Yeah, it's not as common.
But
what?
It felt fresher.
What would you give it out of 10?
See, this is a tough one because I genuinely think like the other two episodes were done better, maybe yeah. for lack of a better term. Like, you know, like the whole, yeah, I can appreciate the Beatles
yeah.
sort of thing from the Barbershop Quartet, and I like the whole Cape Fear thing last episode, but I thought this had more laugh out loud moments for me yeah. again, probably because it was fresher, so I'm kind of torn.
I'm gonna have to push
I'm gonna go
give me that number.
I'll go
8.3, okay.
No, 8.4.
Okay, so I'm marking this down for a recap episode so I won't have to go back and listen to all the other episodes. 8.4, you Posterity. Say?
Yeah, my MVP.
Yes.
Not Burnsy, I was gonna say. I guess I'm gonna give it to the Dean.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I love the Dean. I was laughing as soon as he was there because I already knew. You yeah. can tell straight away they're going for the super nice guy, but Dahmer just thinks he's the crusty yeah. old Dean based on the TV shows he's watched.
I just love the look of him as well. Like
yeah. Well,
he's your the pal.
I had a bit of a different view, because I'm kind of torn myself because it gave me the biggest laugh out loud moment, and I think on if I'd seen it, I think I don't know even if I'd seen it again. Like if I saw the last three episodes for the first time this round, this might be up there. But I've seen a lot of the jokes, and they've a lot, you know, like even the joke where like Homer is like, this is like one bad dream, and then he's in his underwear and all that sort of stuff. Like that's a really great joke. It's been done loads since then, yeah. but that was the first time that was sort of done, I think. But even though it gave me some big laughs,
with that joke though, I think what they do better is that like normally in the dream they're in their underwear.
Yeah.
I guess that is the joke that it's like.
Yeah.
It's real life.
Yeah.
And he's in
exactly.
Yeah. How did he walk in there?
Yeah. How did he not know?
He's just in his underwear.
It is a quality joke. Yeah. See, I found it had like when he dropped his notes and all, like that was hilarious. But the rest of the episode, it felt kind of flat for me, and I don't quite know why. The animation was quite off-putting, to be honest. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was so different. My MVP would also be the Dean, but I would give this episode 6.8.
Six.
I'd give it a 6.8 in comparison to.
Oh my!
And that's, you know, it's very high standards because it gave me a huge laugh. So, you know, if one show gave me a laugh as big as that gave me, I'd say I'd be recommending it to everybody probably. But I'm only judging it based on the harsh standards they've set themselves. So 6.8.
What was your lowest last year?
Well,
what was your lowest like?
Camp Krusty, I think was, but that was, we don't really count that. I deleted it, I think. I don't know. I don't have it here. I don't think I rated much lower than that, to be honest. But that's what I wrote down on my note. 6.8. So that was my immediate thought.
I think it was 8.6, mate. You meant.
Oh, I'm looking at it upside down. shall we get our plugs in?
We should get our plugs in.
Where can they find us? I'll tell you where they can find us. They can find us on Twitter.
Please tell me.
Put it in H Pod. Are we on Facebook?
We sure are. We're at Put It in H Pod Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast.
Also
contact us. Did you call me Spud? You can contact us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. Send us whatever you want to. If you want to say you like the show, you don't like the show. If you don't like the show, I'm not going to read it out, to be honest. But always nice to get a mail anyway.
Yeah, thank you for the email, Timothy. And thank you. Feel free, everyone, feel free just to send us stuff that you think we might like to read. Even if you're shy, if you don't want to talk, just send us something. Send us anything. Anything.
Send us presents.
You know, Christmas is coming up and the wolf's at old Gil's door. Yeah. And you can also find us on iTunes, any Android podcast app, Stitcher, the works.
Any podcatcher, I believe, is the term.
Podcatcher?
I heard somebody say that. Yeah, so that podcatcher is like, you know, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, any of those stuff.
Oh.
That's the term used.
I don't like that now at all.
You don't like that?
Podcatcher.
It's what you use to catch the podcast, mate.
Well, next week, Jerry, we have...
What have we got next week, Andy?
Hold on, excuse me. Did you pick that up?
Yeah, I heard it. I can smell that from here.
I'm so sorry. We have Rosebud.
Good.
The infamous Bobo. Right?
Lobo. Bring back Sheriff Lobo.
A John Swartzwelder classic. So I do look forward to that one. It's a great one. Great to have Mr. Burns getting his own episode as well.
Burns by the barrel full next week. And I'll just leave you with this sentiment of... have the Rolling Stones killed.